Are you ready, all you fans out there in out there land? I say it's time again. Have mercy, let the congregation say, hey, man. It's time for the biggest, baddest party in the world. So get on up, turn it up a notch, and get ready to boogie, baby. Ow!
From Tomahawk to Rhinelander, from Anago to Eagle River, and everywhere in between, it's time for the Sports Q on WJJQ. Now, here is your host, Alex Cook.
Welcome to the Sports Q on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. I'm Alex Cook. Good to have you along here on this wonderful Wednesday evening. Yes, I am in. I promise I am not sick. Although, there is a certain member of the Cook household that was under the weather. Got diagnosed with a fever yesterday. So, I spent the whole day home. Before we get into the show, I want to thank very much Tim Albert for filling in for me on the Northwoods Midday Show today. That was very kind of him. Don't worry, I will be back hopefully tomorrow. Make sure that everything's going. But we got a show to do here, and joining me right back, and we're pretty much going to call him the Iron Man at this point. Yes, the Iron Man. Mr. Keith Hansey. Keith, how are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing excellent.
That is great. Are you well-rested after the late track and field meet last night?
No. That was a late one.
With
that,
it was.
Hour and 20-minute delay, and you had 11 teams.
Yes.
One ended up leaving after that
delay. I believe it was Hurley that left.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But we still had a score and set up the pole vault, and it was a long night.
Well, here's the thing that I've also noticed really quickly. It's not just, you know, the middle schoolers and also the high schoolers as well. There were a lot of pole vaulters this year.
Yes.
There were a lot.
Yes.
And the other thing to point out is that with the middle school meet that Keith was at, and I joke about the fact that he was late on Monday to the baseball broadcast, but there's literally nothing that he could do about it. You had teams like DC Everest and Seas Point coming up. It was just a lot. The one event that he had, seemed like it was a marathon.
And it's like any other sport. It goes up and down.
Yeah.
And right now we have a lot of pole vaulters, and a lot of other schools do too.
Well, there you
go. I've done track meets where there's been five.
Well, there you go. Here you go. We got a lot to get into here this week. We're going to have Hunter Baumgart join us from Fox Sports Radio Wisconsin. Ladies and gentlemen, the Brewers have won five straight games. Who'd have thought it? Who'd have thunk it?
Never worried about them.
Never worried about them. There are a couple of things that they need to fix. We'll talk about that. We're also going to go over some Packers schedule leaks. There is one game that leaked earlier today. We'll talk very briefly about that. The NFL schedule will be released tomorrow. But if we do have any more leaks throughout the course of the day, we'll let you know as that gets closer, if that makes sense. But first, we're going to go ahead and hit the hard word. The NBA draft lottery was this past weekend, and the Milwaukee Bucks know where they will be picking. So really no surprise, nothing too much of the high note, nothing falling too low. The Bucks stand still at the number 10 pick in the NBA draft this upcoming season. Again, an offseason that is filled with still quite a lot of questions. The first one, obviously, who's going to be the new head coach? That's Taylor Jenkins. Now, your second question was, what pick are the Bucks going to be at? It's number 10. And now, the third question, and probably the most important one that we had broken earlier today, is that Milwaukee will be fielding offers for Giannis Antetokounmpo before the NBA draft, which takes place on June 23rd in Brooklyn. So this is the NBA draft order that we will have loaded up here for you. So winning the NBA draft lottery was the Washington Wizards, their third number one overall pick in the lottery era, followed by Utah, Memphis, and Chicago. The Pacers actually owned a top four pick, but since that pick was not in the top four, that goes to the Clippers at number five in the Ivica Zubats trade. The sixth pick is with the Brooklyn Nets. Sacramento's at seven. Atlanta's at eight. Dallas at 9, Milwaukee 10, Golden State 11, Oklahoma City 12, Miami 13, and Charlotte at 14. This is the fifth time in franchise history that the Bucks will be drafting at the number 10 spot. It is also the last time the Bucks drafted in the lottery was at number 10 as well. That was back in 2016. And then also, of course, news also broke on Monday that the Bucks will be listing to trade offers for Giannis Antetokounmpo officially. So, there's two parts to this here. So, Keith, we'll go ahead and start with the draft as obviously, a lot is going to depend on whether Giannis is staying or going, but it sounds like that he's going to be going at this point.
Yeah.
If you're Milwaukee, you're GM John Horst, okay?
Yeah.
I'm not going to say a specific player, but what direction would you go in for this draft?
Well, the good thing is we have time. And Milwaukee had put out that they're going to shop Giannis. Now, I'm sure they're doing, their camp is working on two scenarios, one with him, one without.
Right.
So I think if he's traded, you look for a player that can, you're not going to find the same exact player.
Of course.
But a Giannis type. If Giannis is not traded, and Milwaukee did say, we're going to make a decision swiftly on this, or try to anyway, because obviously with the draft, you don't want to waste a number 10 pick
right
on a point guard.
No.
Or a center when you need, let's, you know, somebody else. So I really don't know where they're going to pick until the trade is finalized. Like, either they're not going to, which I strongly think they are going to trade him, and they might even be able to trade him to a team and get a higher draft pick in
the
lottery.
That would definitely be interesting. Now I remember saying a few weeks ago that the Pacers would be an interesting play. That's clearly not in the mix. No. They are not going to be drafting at all in this upcoming draft, which I think they're going to be okay as long as Tyrese Halliburton comes back fully healthy. So they'll be fine. Yeah. So these are the free agents that the Bucks have to deal with in this upcoming offseason, and that is with Giannis Antetokounmpo being traded.
Yeah.
Kyle Kuzma is the big one, which don't know if they'll be bringing him back or not. Gary Trent Jr., Torian Prince, Gary Harris, Jericho Sims, and Andre Jackson. With a player options, with player options from Bobby Portis and Ryan Rollins. That's over half your roster.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So what you need to do, in my honest estimation, if you are going to keep Giannis, you are going to want to find someone that has a lot of upside. Mm-hmm. Someone that you can develop, a young buck. Sorry for the pun.
That was a good one.
Yeah. I had to get that in today, folks. Yeah. I had to get that in today. So you're going to need somebody young that can develop their game. And typically, this particular draft also is filled with athletic wings, which is exactly what you want, especially this year.
Mm-hmm.
So if you go that route, the one guy that I would have in mind, and he's one of two guys that I see in terms of who Milwaukee takes. And the first guy is Nate Amendt out of Tennessee. Now, Nate Amendt had a bit of an underwhelming freshman year for the Volunteers, and that's why he fell in the draft. He's fallen on draft board so much, but that's because you've had guys come out of nowhere. Guys like LeBaron Filon, Keaton Wagler as well. We knew that Cam Boozer was going to be a top pick. We knew that A.J. DeBonso was going to be a top pick out of BYU. But if you're going to keep Giannis, you're probably going to want to go the young route and go with Amendt, because then you would have the opportunity for him to develop his game. So if the Bucks decide, you know what, we're going to go ahead and hang on to Giannis, and we're going to try and get as many players on this roster as we possibly can, because it's quote-unquote a Giannis and friends ordeal like it was this past season.
Yep.
Now if they decide to go for the trade, let's say for the sake of argument they trade and they keep that 10th pick. They keep that 10th pick for some reason, and then they get a second top 10 pick. The guy that I would take would be Jaxel Lendeborg out of Michigan. The reason why I say Jaxel Lendeborg is because, one, he's proven. He has been, you know, he was in the transfer portal. He won a national championship with Michigan.
Played well.
Played very well. He was a very well-rounded player. I believe he was one of the top front runners as well for the most outstanding player in the Final Four. I think that this guy could be the real deal. And he took over a Michigan squad that had transfers galore, essentially.
Yeah.
You know, there was not one player on that, one starting player on that squad from last year. He helped lead that team to the national championship. Kudos to Dusty May as well, who did a phenomenal job with that program. But I think that Jaxel Lendeborg would be a very intriguing fit with the Bucks, because when you are going through a rebuilding phase, which the Bucks are going to be going through now, let's go ahead and be realistic about this. You're going to want to bring somebody proven, but also someone exciting, and I feel like that Lendeborg fits that mold.
And as we saw with his transfer, he can play with a different group of guys,
right?
And they played very, very well. And not just, like, right before playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
They played good all season.
Yes. Yes, they
Badgers
did.
Badgers beat them.
Yes.
But, you know, that's a player that obviously can adapt to playing with other people, other stars. Because even in the college ranks, you know, he was a star, and there was other stars on that team.
Now there are a couple of guys that I do believe are option. I did say Keaton Wagler. He's probably going to go in the top five right now with the way that the draft is filling up. Mikal Bronze Jr., I don't think the Bucks will go point guard here. The other one that is a little bit of a wild card because we don't know a lot about him is Kareem Lopez out of New Zealand. That's the only one that's a wild card.
Is that the other Lopez brother?
It is not the other Lopez brother, you would think.
We had all of them on the team.
So a little bit about Kareem Lopez. He's 6 foot nine and a half, 222 pounds. He's 19 years old from New Zealand, of all places, originally. In international play, he averaged 17.5 with a block and a half and a steal and a half per game. So, again, pretty decent stat line. I have to read a little more up on him. Now that we got the draft out of the way, let's focus on the main issue here, which is Giannis Antetokounmpo likely going to be traded this offseason. What team do you think the Bucks will trade Giannis to, Keith?
Now that the draft order's out, I like the Indiana trade. I do. But also Oklahoma.
Indiana's not an option because the Pacers don't have that pick anymore. Because that went to the Clippers.
I know, it went to the Clippers, but I think they would still be in the running.
Okay. Okay.
But even even without the pick. I'm talking maybe a straight trade, player trade. I mean, they can't do their pick, but...
Okay. But you brought up Oklahoma City. Yes. Go ahead and explain your logic.
I think he'd be a great fit down there. Just through the past season, you know, with Oklahoma. I don't know. That's the only one that I could think of.
Oklahoma City is currently in line to potentially win their second consecutive NBA title. They're in the Western Conference Finals as we speak. I don't think Oklahoma City is an option. If they didn't win the title last year
without him,
you could consider it, but... Oklahoma City's interesting. I think another team that could be intriguing, and this is a pretty popular one, the other team you'll probably have to look out for would be the Golden State Warriors, because they want to try and probably get another ring out of Steph Curry before the end of his career.
Now let me ask you this.
Hit me.
Do you think Giannis and Steph Curry would mesh?
I think they would find a way to make it work.
Yeah.
I think they would find a way to make it work, because here's the thing. As great as Giannis is, he's not a shooter. That's the one. No. That's the one cause of his game.
Steph is a great shooter.
Steph's the greatest shooter in NBA history. Yeah. There's no question about it. So if you end up putting Steph Curry, who's the best shooter in NBA history, with Giannis Antetokounmpo, who can get teams involved, can get those loose balls, can get points in the paint, that's probably going to work for you. So that's one option. The other option I'm going to bring up would potentially be as a bit of a wild card, Atlanta. Because the Hawks, they just made the playoffs this past year. Now they're ahead of their rebuild after trading away Trae Young. Now what they're going to be looking for is potentially, who's that next guy that we can bring through the turnstiles? Because right now, the Trae Young experience in Atlanta did not work. For whatever reason, didn't work. So I think that's an option. And then I know that they haven't necessarily made a lot of big trades in the past, but Miami is always going to be in play. Miami is always going to be in play with Pat Riley. There's no two ways about it. The thing is, with Miami, they also have the 13th pick. The pick that they would get the best for would be the Atlanta pick, because the Hawks pick at number 8. Now, the Hawks had the right to swap with Milwaukee this upcoming draft. Obviously, they're going to decline that since they got the higher pick, because they got that from the Pelicans in the trade for Dejounte Murray a couple of years ago. So I think that those three would be intriguing options.
I would agree with you.
There you go. I mean, it's easy to agree with me, right, Keith?
Yeah. Plus, it's basketball.
Yes, this is my forte. Is my forte, yes. You are tuned into the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. By the way, we were trying to get select hosts on the show, but Melissa Neiman just texted me, and she is with me on Yaxel Lindeborg, actually.
Okay.
Let me explain. Yaxel will bring new life to Milwaukee. He is the chosen one. I think there's some Michigan bias there from her.
There could be.
There could be. Yeah, could be.
Do they drive around with the Michigan sticker on their car?
They might. I don't know. I think so. But again, Aaron is from Arrowhead, so we'll give him the benefit of the doubt there. Hunter Baumgart from Fox Sports Radio Wisconsin will be joining us after this here on the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Where Northern Wisconsin comes for in-depth Wisconsin sports talk. From youth sports to the pros, you are listening to the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Spring fishing time in the North Woods is here. Make sure you're set for a successful day out on the water. Head over to Vigit Stute Express in Tomaha. Check out the selection of rods and reels and combos. Minn Kota trolling motors, Stern's Life Vest, hip boots and waders, tackle boxes and tackle, artificial bait and live bait, and your fishing license. Stop by today at your spring fishing headquarters, Vegan Stewart Express, on North 4th Street in Tomahawk.
Bringing comfort to your home is Hilgi's of Tomahawk's top priority, and Carrier's products help you achieve the comfortable, efficient, and controlled home of your dreams. A Carrier home. Carrier makes one of the most efficient heating and cooling systems rated by Energy Star. Millions of people trust Carrier's leadership and expertise in delivering premium solutions for their home heating and cooling needs. You can count on Carrier and Hilgi's to keep you comfortable. Carrier, turn to the experts at Hilgi's LP Gas, South Tomahawk Avenue. Call 453-3505. Online at Hilgi's.com.
Billy Bob's Sports Bar in Grinnell invites you to dine in or carry out all your favorite menu selections, including soup, salad, sandwiches, wraps, and Chicago-style pizza. Happy hour is Monday through Thursday from 2 until 5. On Fridays, Billy Bob serves their fantastic fish fry all day, and Saturday it's prime rib with servings starting at 5 and while supplies last. Billy Bob's Sports Bar and Grill, County Highway L, north of Tomahawk, ready to serve you daily at 11 o'clock. It's Billy Bob's Sports Bar and Grill.
Does your investment strategy reflect what you want or just what the market's doing? This is Sarah Olson with Wealth Strategy Group. Our PRO strategy builds portfolios around your personal risk profile, income needs, and future plans. With our PRO strategy, your investments are guided by data-driven signals that help manage risk and capture opportunity, so you can stay focused on your goals, not headlines. Invest, plan, prosper with PRO by Wealth Strategy Group. Let's align your investments at WSGinvest.com or by calling us at 453-0722 to discuss how we can help you build your portfolio.
Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA and SIPC.
Shurl Tire and Auto Service in Tomahawk is proud to support the Tomahawk Hatchets. We're your go-to choice for top-quality automotive service and the best prices on Goodyear tires. We're the home of free tire repair. Bring in your auto or light truck flat tire, and we'll fix it at no charge. You can count on Shurl Tire and Auto Service to keep you rolling on and off the field. We're proud to support the Tomahawk Hatchets and help to keep our community moving forward and on the road to victory. Visit us at SherrillTire.com.
Get your car done right.
Back to the Sports Queue here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. I'm Alex Cook. Good to have you along here on this wonderful Wednesday evening. It's now time for our state interview. And joining me right back on the line to talk to Brewers is Hunter Baumgart from Fox Sports Radio Wisconsin. Hunter, thank you for joining me.
Absolutely. Always happy to hop on, Alex.
Absolutely. So, Hunter, Brewers, we saw them go up and down quite a bit to start the season, especially with injuries. Now they've been able to roll off five straight, including sweeping the Yankees, which I don't think anyone saw coming. They ended up getting a win over San Diego last night. How have the Brewers been able to roll off wins over the last week, in your estimation?
Yeah, I mean, it's look, they're 5-1 since Jackson Churio and Andrew Vaughn were activated off the injured list, and I don't think that's a coincidence. I think this team is a really good team. This is a team that brought back most of what they had last year, especially in the lineup, coming off a season in which they won 97 games, got to the NLCS, as we all know. And really, your only two losses when it comes to your top nine were Isaac Collins and Caleb Durbin. And otherwise, you basically have your same infield and outfield, and you add Garrett Mitchell into that, who is healthy now. And that's all coming into the season, okay? But then Churio and Vaughn are on the injured list within the first 2 days of the year. Then Yelly goes out, and he was activated yesterday, which is awesome. And I think that is, it's not only what Churio and Vaughn have done. In fact, Vaughn wasn't even in the lineup last night and didn't play, but it is about what the other guys in that lineup are now going to be able to do, because it just lengthens your lineup. It gets other guys to see different pitches. If You know, they maybe got to attack a guy like Joey Ortiz who got the home run last night. Like, maybe they have to throw a different pitch to him because they know what's coming up, and they know Terang's coming up, and they know Contreras is coming up. But also you have Churio now in there, and also you have Yelich now in there, and it just deepens that lineup. So as much as the pitching, I mean, the pitching was amazing to sweep the Yankees. They had a 1.61 ERA as a pitching staff against the Yankees over the weekend, which was absolutely just phenomenal. It is also just that offense. I just don't think it's a coincidence that they're 5-1 since those guys came back.
So you mentioned the pitching really quickly, Hunter, on the Brewers sweeping the Yankees. It's the first time the Brewers have swept the Yankees in over 35 years. What else was impressive about that sweep of New York over the weekend?
Yeah, I mean, it really is. It really was the pitching. I mean, for Mizorowski and Logan Henderson, who started on Sunday, told us after the game, like, Miz set the tone on Friday night, coming out, hitting 103.6 on the radar gun, and also striking out 11 over his 6 shutout innings, and then Drouin coming in and getting 3 shutout innings. It just sets the tone for the weekend, saying, all right, we can pitch against these guys. The offense came alive against Max Fried, who came in with an under 3 ERA on Friday night. And then it just, you know, they just found ways to win the next couple of days, and they kept fighting. And the next two, Saturday and Sunday, were both comeback victories. Both they were down 2-0 and came back to win those. One in the 10th inning on Saturday, and of course the walk off by Bryce Durang on Mother's Day Sunday in the 9th. So it was just finding ways to win, and kind of glimpses of how they won last year of really good pitching and the offense finding a way. And so there, and also the Yankees only hit 2 home runs on the weekend, and I think that's key. And you think about, you never obviously want to give up a home run, but Yankees came into the series leading baseball in home runs, and coming into Friday night's game. So you knew you had the limit, and obviously the American Family Field can be a home run, heavy ballpark. And so you wanted that. Wanted the pitchers to somehow limit them. Now, the Brewers have also given up the least amount of home runs in baseball. That was coming into yesterday. I haven't checked it coming into today, but I would assume it's right about the same. I believe they only gave up 1 last night. So, yeah, I would think this team is right there again as far as giving up not a lot of home runs. And that's very key, obviously, for your pitching staff.
And talking here with Hunter Baumgart from Fox Sports Radio Wisconsin here on the Sports Q on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. So, Hunter, obviously Christian Yelich, we just learned, activated off the injured list, which is another bat being added back in the lineup, which will be useful. Brandon Woodruff and Brandon Lockridge are also hurt. What's the latest that you're hearing on those two and any other injuries the Brewers may have?
Sure, yeah. Lockridge was, scary moment there Friday night when he slides into the wall, and you don't know how bad it is there, and he thought it was probably worse than it was at first. But bone bruise is what he's been diagnosed with, I would think, from what Pat Murphy has said. What the Brewers have said, about a month to 6 weeks is probably a timeline for him to come back. So maybe sometime mid to late June for Lockridge. Brandon Woodruff is scheduled to throw a bullpen coming up tomorrow. His scheduled estimated return would be late May, so 10 days or so, 10 days, 2 weeks possibly for Brandon Woodruff. Pat Murphy has said he doesn't really think it's going to take a lot for Brandon Woodruff to build back up, and I don't know if we'll see a rehab assignment at all. I wouldn't necessarily think so. I think he might just pop back and do some live BP and do some bullpens and be ready to go. Quinn Priester, he had a few starts there in the minor leagues as he's trying to rehab there in April, and then they just thought, okay, let's return him to the team. You know, he wasn't getting, it's not all about results when you're on a rehab assignment in the minor leagues, but you also don't want to do what he was doing. He was walking a lot of guys, didn't have the control necessarily. And with a nerve type injury, you kind of got to get the feel back as far as the ball coming out of your arm, out of your hand. And it just wasn't feeling right. But he came back, has worked with Chris Hook, Jim Henderson, and the major league staff a little bit, threw a bullpen in the last couple of days, and that all went well with no issue. So he's scheduled to do a rehab assignment this weekend. I believe he's tentatively scheduled to start on Saturday for the Timber Rattlers in Appleton and start there, and then likely he'll go back to Nashville. So he's looking at a late May, early June return, probably I would say more so early June for Quinn Priester. So those are the three major ones. You got Rob Zastrzyzny, bullpen lefty, who just started a rehab assignment. He could be back late May, early June. Jared Koenig starting to throw bullpen. I think he threw 20 to 25 pitches, and it went well yesterday. So those guys, lefties in the bullpen, you want to get back as well. But those main guys, those are some of the updates.
So, again, looking at the Brewers here, the biggest weakness, I guess you could say, of this team, Hunter, at this point has been the left side of the infield, specifically on the offensive side, with Renjifo, Hamilton, Ortiz still there. What do they need to do to improve that side of the infield, in your estimation?
Yeah, it's, well, that's a good question. I don't know. You know, Renjifo has played a little better here in the last couple of weeks, kind of returning to maybe what you expected out of him. I think you've maybe expected a little more out of him, and hopefully he gets going as the summer gets going. David Hamilton has kind of been that niche player. I've kind of thought since he came over in that deal from Boston in the Caleb Durbin trade was, you're a really good team if David Hamilton is your Andrew Monasterio of years past, where he's your utility guy.
Sure.
Plays every once in a while. Like, not, you're not relying on him to be a starter, but because Renjifo and Ortiz have not taken either position offensively by storm, he's been forced to play a little more, and you're kind of seeing, you know, who he is as a player. Now, he's also been prolific in the bunting department. The Brewers lead the majors in bunt hits, but he's a big reason why. He's been prolific of that, and I remember he told me a couple weeks ago, like, I came into spring training and it's not like I had bunted a lot before, but Pat Murphy's like, you're going to bunt and you'd be really good at it. And now he's kind of found that niche, but he obviously can't bunt every time you're at the plate. So
right.
I think for now it's continue to see. I always thought that they'd give, coming into the season, I kind of thought, okay, the leash on Joey Ortiz would be about Memorial Day and see where he is there. And then if you want to make a move at shortstop, I don't know if it's a Jet Williams who came over in the Freddie Peralta deal, who's in Nashville, or of course, well, who everybody's thinking about is probably Cooper Pratt, who's gotten hot now, which is good, in Nashville, and was given the 8-year, $50 million deal about a month ago or so. So I would think that Cooper Pratt would be the logical choice if you were to make a move at shortstop, but they also love his defense. Joey's defense is elite.
That's
and
true.
So you're giving up something on the defensive side if you do make a move there.
And final question I have for you, Hunter, here. Obviously, now the Brewers currently sit at second place in the National League Central after being, you know, towards the bottom. Where else do they need to work on to make a deep run into the postseason again later on?
Yeah, I think it's just basically just getting through a major league season and doing it healthy. I think this team has all the makings of a really good team that can go on a run again. I think the offense, came back basically the same as last year with a couple of different additions. You've mentioned the left side of the infield, obviously, is something they would probably want to shore up. But otherwise, Sal Frelick, I think, needs to get a little hotter. He started a little bit, had a really nice hit against the shift last night. And so he would be one that is obviously playing worse than he was last year as far as the offensive side goes. So I would love Sal to get a little hotter. The strikeouts for Garrett Mitchell, I would love to go down. I still think, you know, there's a very good player inside Garrett Mitchell, but unfortunately he's been struggling a little bit as of late at the plate. So that would be good. And like I mentioned, just get through it healthy, continue to grow these starting pitchers. It's a very young starting staff. I talk about how this team returned a lot from last year. That's the case on the offensive side and some of the bullpen. But the starting staff is significantly different. I mean, Kyle Harrison and Brandon Sproat are different. Obviously, Woody missed a lot of last year, and now he's back. You got Logan Henderson in there right now. We'll see what they do with Chad Patrick, if he's going to be a starter. Or maybe they move him to the bullpen and say, all right, Logan Henderson maybe takes that spot. So there are going to be decisions to be made, but I think overall, with Jacob Mizorowski leading you, and he'll be on the mound tonight, sky's the limit there for that kid. So
yeah,
excited to see that. But yeah, I think it's literally just stay healthy, and I think this team is a very good, solid team. And the woes they went through in April, I think, were mainly because they were missing three of their top five hitters.
And Milwaukee continues their three-game set with the San Diego Padres tonight. First pitch is at 6:40, and the showstopper, Jacob Mizorowski, on the mound here for the crew. Hunter Baumgart from Fox Sports Radio Wisconsin. Absolutely. Hunter Baumgart from Fox Sports Radio Wisconsin here on the Sports Q on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. We'll take a break and be back with more after this.
Talking Packers, Badgers, Brewers, Bucks, and local sports. You are listening to the Sports Q on WJJQ.
CBS News on the Hour, your home for original reporting.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. The South Carolina Supreme Court overturns the murder convictions against Alec Murdaugh and orders a new trial. Murdoch was found guilty in 2023 of killing his wife and son in 2021. CBS News legal contributor Jessica Levinson.
A completely new trial. There will be, I think, a new judge, obviously completely different jury. And with respect to the evidence, I think that there has been intervening rulings regarding whether or not evidence of his financial crimes that he's also been convicted of could be brought in a murder trial. So my understanding is you might actually see less evidence in the next case.
Tori Richens will spend the rest of her life in prison for killing her husband Eric via fentanyl poisoning. The Utah mother later wrote a children's book on grief. Eric Richens' sister, Katie Richens Benson, asked the judge to lock up Corey forever.
I worry about the safety of Eric's boys, my daughters, my sister, and myself. There is nothing Corey will not do, and no one she will not hurt to achieve her own selfish ends.
A drug counselor tied to the ketamine overdose death of actor Matthew Perry will spend time behind bars, CBS's Stacey Lynn reports.
The licensed drug addiction counselor who delivered the doses of ketamine that killed the actor was sentenced to 2 years in prison. Prosecutors said Fleming worked with the so-called ketamine queen to give Perry the drug. She was sentenced last month to 15 years in prison. 56-year-old Eric Fleming told the court he was haunted by his actions and told reporters afterwards he's regretted. Thankfully, sorry.
My chest and heart hurt every day for the pain I caused not only his family.
Stacey Lynn, CBS News.
President Trump announced plans to turn the U.S. military base in Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, into a massive detention center that was supposed to hold as many as 30,000 people facing deportation. But as CBS's Camilo Montoya Galvez reports, a CBS News review of internal government documents shows there are only 6 immigration detainees being held there.
Over the past year, since the operation started in February of 2025, fewer than 900 immigration detainees have been transferred to the military installation at Guantanamo Bay to be detained there. Nowhere near that 30,000 number that President Trump talked about.
Americans are still under observation in medical facilities in connection with the cruise ship hantavirus outbreak, including 16 in Nebraska, where CBS's Ian Lee is.
The doctors here are very confident that they will be able to monitor this situation. Right now, they say it's up to the CDC to determine when these people can actually go home. That decision hasn't been made.
This is CBS News.
Go to the ends of the earth, half a world away. Reach for the stars.
It might take time to think. They might go get Brad.
On CBS, Sunday morning.
I'm Pierre Palazzolo, VP of Digital Marketing for the American Management Association, a company focused on the management training skills needed to enhance the careers of business professionals. We did our research when it came to the best companies for website development and chose AmericanEagle.com. And we couldn't be happier. AmericanEagle.com worked closely with us to understand the front and back end requirements needed to launch an e-commerce website that could handle the complexities of running thousands of seminars nationwide. A robust new website and improved SEO saw immediate increases in site traffic and web revenue. If you're in need of managerial effectiveness and success, visit our website at amanet.org. If you're in need of a website that provides an unparalleled consumer experience, I highly recommend AmericanEagle.com.
Transform your business today. Dial 877-WEB-NOW-1 for a free digital consultation with AmericanEagle.com.
A legendary comedian, filmmaker, and playwright is handing off some of his most prized possessions.
Springtime for Hitler.
Mel Brooks, who turns 100 next month, is donating his personal archives to the National Comedy Center in Jamestown, New York. Among the 20,000 documents, his lyrics for that song from The Producers and storyboards from every movie he's ever made, including Spaceballs.
I am the keeper of a greater magic.
The Force?
No, the Schwartz.
And Blazing Saddles.
How about some more beans, Mr. Taggart?
I'd say you've had enough.
Brooks says he's honored his contributions will be preserved for future generations. Deborah Rodriguez, CBS News.
Random House has acquired a Godfather novel authorized by Mario Puzo's estate and due for release in 2027. It will focus on Connie, played by Talia Shire in the films. Jennifer Kuiper, CBS News.
WJJQ Radio Sports Time is 6.05 p.m. and a very good Wednesday evening. Alex Cook here with you. You're tuned into the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Temperatures very nice today. 60 degrees under partly cloudy skies, which is what we've been looking for. Predicted low for tonight is 34. It'll be chilly, but our high for tomorrow is 71. It's going to be absolutely gorgeous heading into the weekend. And then Friday, may as well get the sunscreen and the shorts out. It's going to be 82 on Friday for a high. Tony Schumacher will have more on that with your weather forecast. And after that, we're going to talk about some NFL games that have leaked ahead of the 2026 season, including one by Green Bay. That's coming up after your weather forecast with Tony Schumacher.
The forecast for the Northwoods for tonight is a cool one with a frost advisory in place starting at 1 a.m. in Taylor and Price counties. Otherwise, low temperatures mostly in the low 30s with clear skies and light winds. And throughout tomorrow, look for quite a bit of sunshine, a few puffy clouds, and a high of 67, southeast to south wind up to 10. Showers likely later Thursday night, nothing too heavy though, low at 48. And Friday, maybe a shower early, then partly sunny and warmer, high in the mid-70s. Saturday should be a great day with partly cloudy skies, high 77. Some showers and storms Sunday afternoon into Monday. I'm meteorologist Tony Schumacher for WJJQ.
The Sports Q on WJJQ, your source for sports from around the state and in the Northwoods. Here's your host, Alex Cook.
Welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Alex Cook and Keith Hansey back here with you. I think Keith Hansey has been calling us the A-team over the last couple of weeks.
That's a given.
It's a given? And
I'm not even going to pick on those other two that sometimes show up.
Oh, okay. All right. I know where you're...
We were just looking at the ratings. And it's me and you. We're like... skyrocketing.
I guess we are. But thank you very much also to Hunter Baumgard for joining us.
Always good Fox to hear Sports from Radio. Hunter.
Yes, absolutely. The Brewers are rolling right now. They won five straight. Potential to make it six tonight when they take on the Padres after this series. They'll be heading out across the Midwest. They've got a three-game set in Minnesota and then a three-game set with the Cubs coming up next week. So some very important games coming up for the crew here throughout the season. They're currently second in the National League Central with a 23-16 record, 2.5 games behind the Cubs, and the two teams play against each other next week. So that's something to pay attention to as well. It is currently now 6:08, and again, Keith, the lucky duck is getting himself out of Mascot Madness once again. Yes. I don't know what it is with him.
I don't know.
People just might not want to face you then, I guess, right?
Yeah.
But there is something that's going to be coming up tomorrow. That is the release of the 2026 NFL schedule. And there have been a few select games that have been leaked, the international schedule has been leaked. Pretty much almost all of the week one schedule has been leaked for the most part. The Bills know when they're going to be opening up in their new Highmark Stadium. The season opener is going to be a rematch of the Super Bowl between the Patriots and the Seahawks. The Rams and the Niners are playing against each other in, of all places, Melbourne, Australia, which is, funky enough.
That's a long ways away.
That is a very long ways away, yes. There is one Packer game that has been leaked so far, mm-hmm. and we are going to talk about the rest of this schedule. So the full NFL schedule is set to be released tomorrow at approximately 7 o'clock Central Standard Time. Once we know the full schedule, we'll go ahead and give you a preview of what to expect here for Green Bay in the upcoming season. So, the one game that has been leaked, and again, this will go a little bit more into our conversation because I know Keith has been chomping at the bit to talk about this.
Yes.
So the Packers lone game that has been leaked is on Thanksgiving Eve. You heard that right. Thanksgiving Eve. The Packers will be playing on a Wednesday night, of all things, Wednesday night. Wednesday night football on Netflix, and it's going to be in L.A. against the Rams. So a marquee game, regardless of what you think. A marquee game
definitely. On
paper. Obviously, a lot will happen from here on out, but the one thing that you can rely on is that it's a big game, and kick for that game will be at approximately 7 o'clock Central Standard Time. Again, that game will be broadcast on Netflix. Now, the good news is that with this, it's likely that the Packers are going to be getting a Week 11 bye, which is good because it was an early season bye last year, and a lot of teams want that middle of the season to late season bye so that they can go into the postseason on a more consistent on a hot streak. So now that I mention this, I want to get into this conversation with Keith because we were talking about this very briefly off the air here. Keith, you've got a bone to pick with the NFL. I am going to sit back. I've got my Dr. Pepper with me, and I'm going to give you the floor.
Wait, you're not supposed to have sugar, are you?
Or is it's Dr. a zero Pepper? Sugar.
Okay,
it's
all right.
A zero sugar.
All right, good.
There you go.
You got me.
All right,
no,
Keith. Go ahead.
It's just, it's irritating that the NFL, and I know they're doing it for the money, but broadcasting every week on a different platform, like for the Packers, for example, they're always, you know, it used to be you turned on Fox or CBS, ABC, they were on there. Now you got to have Netflix, you got to have Amazon Prime, you got to have YouTube TV, you got to have all these different channels just to find your Packer game. And if you're, think of all the people that don't have all these apps and they're relying on the old antenna, you know, digital antenna to watch these games. You have to go somewhere that's going to broadcast it. And I've been at different establishments that are going to play the game. Well, they're busy trying to buy that app and then getting the, I know they have to get license or whatnot to broadcast those games, but it's frustrating when you're trying, you come home on a Wednesday night or a Thursday night or a Saturday night and, oh, it's on this app or it's on this app, or you got to download this or buy a Netflix. That's how I ended up getting Netflix last year, because there was a Packer game on there. So before the game, I'm registering and buying Netflix just so I can watch the game. It's irritating.
Are you finished?
Yeah.
Okay. Here's the thing. All right. Here is, everything you said is totally fair. I'm not going to sit here and disagree with any word that
you
said.
You're saying I was right.
I'm not saying that. No. Let me explain. You have to think of the younger generation. And I'm not talking about me. Let's be very real about this, okay? I'm talking about high school kids. I'm talking about kids in college. I'm talking about the younger ones that look at, that essentially look at, you know, okay, what app is this going to be on? It's just easier for the younger crowd. And that's what the NFL is trying to gear itself towards. Now, for the longest time, baseball was on the local channel because all you could do was just turn on that game and then just go in and watch it. Now, obviously, you have to watch it on, like, Brewers TV and stuff like that. I get it, okay? The problem is that that's where the times are going. And there's nothing that anybody can do to stop it.
No.
Unfortunately. I'm not saying, believe me, when I say Keith is not wrong by any stretch of the imagination, he's absolutely right.
Yeah.
And he's watched football a lot longer than I have.
Yes. And I'm talking about the older generation.
Yes, yes. And he's talking about the generation that grew up watching the Packers when they were in the 70s and 80s. So let's just go ahead and frame this for a second here, okay? As much as it's frustrating, that's what today has to deal with. That's what the apps have to deal with. Because I'm going to go ahead and just put this into its proper perspective here, guys, okay? So, little bit of a personal backstory. With me, you know, with me having an infant daughter and have her going to daycare on a consistent basis, you have to cut back on certain things.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one of the things that we decided to cut back on was YouTube TV. We decided, you know what? We've got ESPN Unlimited. We've got, you know, HBO Max. Let's just go ahead and cut it out altogether, and then we can reevaluate once football season starts to come around. And then we can say, okay, do we really need to add this? I'm here to tell you guys, if you do the math, I don't have the exact number in front of me, but if you do the math, it actually costs less to have all of those apps on all of those apps on your television, subscriptions to all of those, than it does for a YouTube TV subscription.
Right.
And that is what you're going with here. The NFL is trying to get as much money as it can while also trying to make enough for the consumer.
Mm-hmm.
And understand, the days of broadcast rights for cable television is coming to an end. Because we saw the NBA now has a subscription to Peacock. The NBA now has broadcast rights for Prime. That's where it's going. That is where it's going. And honestly, as much, and I know people are probably going to hate me when I say this, I actually like this.
Really?
I like this. Here's why. You're talking to someone that is on that's on the spectrum, okay? We like things that are quick. We like things that want to say, okay, this is where this is where that is, rather than having the channel surf and figure out what channel the game is on. This is a lot better because you're going to have you know exactly where it is. This is where the millennial minds work, Keith. Let's be real about this. This is where the millennial mind.
And then I'll tell you how the real generation.
The real not the real generation. The real generation, my patoot. You know this. So how the millennial mind works, or how at least my mind works, is that okay? It's going to be on this app. Great, I know where this app is. It's going to be on this one. Okay, I know where this one is. It's easier for the younger generation to go through apps and find out what the game is on rather than having to go through channels on a consistent basis. Because the days of having broadcast rights are coming to an end. The days of having those cable broadcast rights. One of the books that I finished recently was, do you know who Kenny Albert is?
Yeah.
Okay. Kenny Albert is the son of legendary broadcaster Marv Albert. Kenny Albert, by the way, is a great broadcaster. Great broadcaster. He's done a little bit of everything. He's done football. He's hockey. He's done basketball. Yeah. He's done baseball. He's done Olympic games, for crying out loud. Mm-hmm. He called the U.S. gold medal hockey game this past Olympics in Milan Cortina. One of the things that he talked about was how monumental it was that Fox got their broadcasting rights to the NFL back in 1994. Mm-hmm. Okay? I want to give you perspective. That was 32 years ago. Everything changes in 32 years. There's a lot that changes in 32 years. Think of the advancements in technology that we've had in 32 years. Think of the phones that we've had change in 32 years. Think of how people are able to have so much at their fingertips where they can just go in and watch a game. Plus, it's a lot more accessible to the people that are going to be traveling, because a lot of people, because what we've got right now here is a phone. It's a smartphone. It's a computer, but it's a phone.
Yeah.
Okay? You can watch games on a computer. You can watch games on your phone now. That's the way the NFL's going. Keith?
All right. Well, I see what you're saying.
Okay.
But in the old days, or the days that I liked it, you knew the Packers were playing at noon, right?
Sure.
All right. They're either on Fox or they're on CBS.
That's how it was with me growing up?
Yeah.
That's how it was with me growing up?
Now, old people like me, we got to get
our
phones.
Keith.
Look at them.
You are not old. You age like fine bourbon, okay? Yeah. We get it.
That's fine.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. But now I have to go on the Packers schedule, find a game, and then see what station it's on or what platform, and then I got to figure out if I even have a login or an access to it. And then like Netflix, I didn't have that. So before a game, I'm panicking, trying to set up this Netflix, get it all going, and then finally get the game. It was just so much easier when it was just on two channels.
Now here's the thing. Now let me come back to that. You like to plan, don't you?
Sorta.
Yeah. Okay. So, but you plan for important events, right?
Yeah.
You consider watching football an important event, right?
Yes.
Why don't you just go ahead and get the subscription ahead of time?
What?
Get the subscription ahead of time, so that way you don't have to worry. Hold on.
No. Well, I don't have radio money. I can't just be buying.
You make
all
it seem. No. That radio money is going right into my daughter's daycare, Keith.
Right.
Let's go ahead and put that perspective.
Right.
Okay.
But you get all those apps, and I'll use them for one game, two games.
You can use them for so much more.
Yeah, I don't have time. I have time to watch football and hockey. That's about it.
Really? I find that incredibly ridiculous. Because look, here's the thing. You say football and hockey. You also watch volleyball. Don't lie to me.
I do. I do.
Knock it off. That's the first thing. Now, let me go ahead and get to this here. As much as you make a valid point, you get the subscription ahead of time, you don't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about it. And there's a lot of other things you can do on the app rather than watch football. God, what do I sound like? I am sounding like the voice of reason here. And that is concerning.
That is.
That is very concerning. The fact that me, the crazy caffeinated new dad, is the voice of reason.
Yeah.
Let's think about this for a second. If there is a world where Alex Cook can be a reasonable person, there is a world where everyone can be happy, sing kumbaya, watch football, and then also enjoy the apps that are on there. Again, Keith, I understand it's an adjustment for you.
Yeah, it is.
But get to the but honest,
a lot
but under,
of people.
But it is an adjustment for a lot of people.
Yeah.
I agree. I'm not saying that. But think of where the target audience is going. think of where the target audience is going. It's going to the younger crowd. They always appeal to the younger crowd. Now, again, now, the one thing I will agree with you on is that I think NFL football on Wednesday is absolutely ridiculous. It is absolutely ridiculous.
So basically, we just don't have football on Tuesday night.
Exactly. That's really the point. Those are high school volleyball nights, by the way. Go ahead.
They are. But Thanksgiving Eve, I can see it, before a holiday.
Sure.
Christmas Eve, special days. But
sure. I don't like Wednesday night football. I really, really don't. Now, again, Sunday night football, go ahead.
Love it.
I love it. Absolutely love
Monday
it.
Monday night football.
Monday night football, love it. All right. Thursday night football, it took me a while to get used to, but you know what? It is totally okay for football to be on Thursday night because it's a night where if you're having a long weekend, all you got to do is relax. And then the other thing you got to point out is that regardless of what's going to happen, you're also going to have more coming up this weekend. So that following weekend. So so that's the other thing. Wednesday night football to me just does not work.
Mm-mm. No,
it does not.
Is that throughout the season now, or is it just that one?
It's going to be one
game?
And then let me take a look here because I got the NFL. So for those of you that don't know, for following along with the NFL with this NFL schedule, I follow an X page. Literally, the name of it is NFL Nerd. Okay, well, let's be real about it. Yes, NFL Nerd, and no, it is not me.
If the website fits,
yes, it does. If the Twitter page fits, that's the thing. And they do a schedule release every single year. They actually have like an actual grid. I could probably try and take a photo of it and look and see because this is just how my analytical brain works. And they essentially like go through the games that have already been leaked and then they immediately plug them right in. So what I have in front of me, I do have a Wednesday night football game in front of me. So that is going to be the season opener between the Seahawks and the Patriots as well. Because the 49ers and Rams game is going to be on at Melbourne, in Melbourne, Australia, the next night. And then instead, they're going to be doing their Rio game, which they had on a season opening Friday night. They're going to have that on a Sunday during the day.
Yeah.
And that is going to be Baltimore and Dallas, as we know of. So that is the thing with me. I don't mind the apps. I more have a problem with NFL football being broadcast on a Wednesday night. It's just a weird night to me. And I don't think you can disagree with me on that.
No, it is. For one night, like over a holiday, yes.
Sure.
Makes sense.
Sure.
But hopefully not consistently on a Wednesday night.
I wouldn't either. I would not do that. Plus, let's be real about this. Friday nights are for high school football.
Yes.
Let's be real about this.
Yeah.
The NFL
should be.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. They should be. The Black Friday game, I've got no problem with them.
No,
I don't.
That's a holiday Eve.
Yep, it's holiday Eve. Thanksgiving Eve. The problem is that Thanksgiving Eve is not a holiday to me.
No.
Thanksgiving Eve is another day at work.
It is. But then you're at home. You're prepping your turkey to bake the next day, Alex. You're cutting your cranberries and
well, for the second straight week, it might be a ham. I don't know. Well, the other thing to point out here with this is that. Here's the plus side to this, and I will go ahead and make this known right away. Since the Packers and the Rams have a Thanksgiving Eve game on a Wednesday night, don't you think that we should do a Sports Q NFL preview of that particular game?
We should. That's going to be right in the heart of the season.
It's the day before Thanksgiving, so even though you may be busy, you could go ahead, do the show, and then go home, relax, and watch a game. That's all you got to do.
I do have one question for you.
Hit me. Well, go ahead.
Now that we know they're playing the Rams.
Yes.
So they're eliminated from that schedule for that opening night.
Yes, they are.
What's your prediction for the opening game?
Well, Dallas is also eliminated because they're going to be playing the Giants coming up in week one.
All hail the New York Giants.
Yes. So right now, it sounds like that Green Bay is going to be doing a Sunday game at either noon or 3:25, which is totally fine because the Broncos and the Chargers are also Broncos and Chiefs, excuse me, are opening up on Monday night. Okay. Sunday night is the Cowboys and the Giants.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So my best guess right now, if I had to pick, so if you wanted to do a noon kickoff game, I feel like that would be either Miami, so the Jeff Hafley revenge game.
Yep.
Or if you really wanted to go berserk, you could have them in New Orleans to open up the season. So that's for noon. If you want to go the 3:25 route,
that changes things.
I would say Buffalo's probably the most likely option. Now, the reason why I say Buffalo is because Buffalo has their home opener on Thursday night, the first Thursday night football game of the season, at home against Detroit. That's going to be their first game in their brand new fancy schmancy stadium that they built. So that's definitely a possibility. So I see Green Bay opening up at 325 against Buffalo, or the other game that you could point out to, and I know that you don't like divisional games, Keith, you got to put the Bears down as an option. You have
if
to.
I feel like that would be the best chance at the 325 slot.
Yeah, that would be the best chance, in my opinion, too.
Or if they were at the Sunday night game, which is already filled.
The Sunday night game's already been filled up.
I really don't think it'll be a divisional opponent just based on that schedule.
Right. So it sounds like that right now my top scenario, if you're going to do a 325 game, would be Buffalo, which would be huge to open up the season.
Even Miami. I really think that Green Bay is going to play Miami week one.
It very well could be. So that's a little bit about what we have here with the NFL schedule. There are 17 total games league. Again, if you don't follow the NFL Nerd, go ahead and give them a follow really quickly. That is an absolutely wonderful website. Well, and it looks like that we already have a leak. The Bears are officially eliminated from a potential week one option for Green Bay.
Yeah.
They will be opening up their season in Carolina against the Panthers. So the Bears are out of the equation.
So that tells me there probably won't be a NFC North.
The only one right now that makes sense right now would be Detroit. If Green Bay and Detroit opened up the season again, which I don't see that happening back-to-back years, but the Packers have played 3 straight years on Thanksgiving. Let's be real about this. And including Thanksgiving Eve this year, it's 4 straight, which is shocking to me that they're playing on Thanksgiving that many consecutive years.
And Alex, I just want to point out, part of my tens and tens of listeners, they agree with me.
Really?
Mr. Ron Wilson.
Ron Wilson agrees. Okay, Ron, just for that, no more baseball broadcasts for the rest of the year. I'm just kidding. We love it. We love that. So, again, the NFL schedule will be released tomorrow at approximately 7 o'clock. We do have quite a few games that are already leaked. Be sure to stay tuned. If we have any more leaks, we'll be sure to give you updates. You're tuned into the Sports Q on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. We were a little all over the place with that one, but you know what?
There is
no problem with being all over the place on this show.
No. No, there's no script.
No. Do you see a script in front of you?
All I see is a bottle of water. And my cellular phone.
All I see is my Dr. Pepper Zero Sugar, so there you go. We will be back with your weather forecast from Weatherology after this here on the Sports Q on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ.
Covering sports from Madison, Milwaukee, Green Bay, and the Northwoods, you're listening to the Sports Q with Alex Cook on WJJQ.
Are you curious what's the value of your home? Have you been thinking now is a good time to upgrade or downsize? Hi, this is Tim Nelson, Associate Broker at Wild Rivers Group Real Estate in Tomahawk, Wisconsin. It's my desire to treat people like family, to care, and provide a phenomenal real estate experience. I will work very hard to ensure you are successful and have peace of mind in your buying and selling experience. Buying and selling real estate can be very stressful, difficult, and intense, but I'm determined to help folks thrive, be confident, and get great results. It would be an honor to care and serve you, your loved ones, and friends. Thank you, and have an awesome day.
John J. Schuette Construction is a family-owned company serving the area with trucking, excavating, and Wausau Homes. Their Wausau Homes Design Studio is at 1708 North 4th Street in Tomahawk, and they're ready to help make every home buyer's experience an enjoyable one from start to finish. Call 453-2015 for excavating, trucking, and Wausau Homes from John J. Schuette Construction of Tomahawk.
Here's a look at your Northwoods 92.5 forecast. Lows dip down to about 34 tonight under clear skies, winds out of the north around 5 miles per hour. High temperatures reach up to 71 tomorrow, mainly sunny skies. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki, and that's your forecast on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Right now, it's 60 degrees.
We have tasted a bit of warmer weather this early spring, so now is the time to think about your air conditioning systems because hot weather is right around the corner. Call Premier Heating and Cooling at 453-4700. Premier offers the Dave Lennox Signature Collection of air conditioners and furnaces designed from the inside out to look good and work better than ever. Lennox is proud to be an official Energy Star partner and offer Lennox home comfort systems that save you energy and money. Call Premier today. Josh will give you all the information about Dave Lennox Signature Collection with the furnace just right for your heating and cooling needs to be ready for a hot summer. Lennox innovation never felt so good. Premier Heating and Cooling at the intersection of Muskellunge Lake Road and County Road A. Call 453-4700 and online at premierheatingcooling.com.
Subway of Tomahawk is a proud sponsor of the Tomahawk Hatchets. Fuel up before or after the game with fresh subs, crisp salads, and of course, one of our famous cookies for your sweet tooth. Planning a team get-together or family celebration? Let Subway make it easy with catering. Just give us a call or use the Subway mobile app for easy ordering and we'll handle the rest. We're proud to support the Tomahawk Hatchets and help to keep our community and local athletes fueled and ready for victory.
To the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. I'm Alex Cook. Good to have you along here on this wonderful Wednesday evening here in the Northwoods. 6:32 is our time here for today. That was a great conversation, by the way, about the NFL, about the NFL schedule. Absolutely love it. Can you tell we're football nerds, Keith?
Yeah.
Can you tell we're football nerds?
That's why you're on the website.
That is why I'm on the website. There you go. Yeah, exactly.
No, excited. I'm glad it's kind of the distance. We got to have a summer.
Yes,
we got to have a summer first.
Yes, we do have to have a summer. But once we get that schedule hammered down, oh man, it's going to be so much fun. Yeah. Going to be so much fun. So we are going to do. I'm not going to do this as trivia, but I'm going to let you guys know we're going to go back to the NBA draft for a little bit, really quickly. Okay.
Okay.
So what we are going to do is I'm going to name you every Bucks lottery pick since I was born. It's actually a shorter list than you think.
Really?
Yes.
Well, the many years they didn't end up in the lottery.
Exactly. Yeah, they have been in the lottery 14 times in my lifetime.
Okay.
So, what do you say I give you a little bit of what you can expect here? Let's see here. What do we got for music? Let's see here. I feel like this would be appropriate. I'm just constantly Wait, what? That's not the right one.
We have been hoodwinked.
I think I clicked that one.
Led astray, run amok, and flat out deceived. Can I
play with wait, that's not the right one. Hang on a second. Wait, hold on, hold on. Where is it? There it is. Here we go.
Found it.
There we go. All right. So we are going to let you know of every lottery draft pick for the Bucks since the year I was born. If you don't know when I was born, well, it was 1995, so that's 31 years ago, all right? So, year I was born, 1995, the Bucks had the 11th pick. They took Gary Trent Sr. Gary Trent Sr. from Ohio. He was actually traded on draft night to the Portland Trail Blazers. The Bucks instead got some guy named Sean Respert.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
He's just like, okay.
All right.
So, 1996, this one was a little bit more memorable the following year. The Bucks had the 4th pick in the draft. They took Stephon Marbury out of Georgia Tech. Starbury. Now, here's the crazy part about all this. Stephon Marbury was traded on draft night to the Minnesota Timberwolves. Do you know who the Bucks got with that, Mr. Keith Hansen?
No clue.
Ray Allen. Yes.
Through that trade, yeah.
With that particular trade, yes.
Yeah.
So now we go to 97, the very next year.
Okay.
Bucks had the 10th pick. They traded this pick to the Nuggets on draft night. A guy by the name of Danny Fortson out of Cincinnati was a starting forward for a few years in the NBA. They traded him for a center by the name of Irvin Johnson. Not Magic.
No.
Irvin Johnson. He was a Bucks starting center for quite a few years. Was a starter on that team, by the way, that went to the conference finals in 2001. Now we go to 1998, and this is going to hurt Bucks fans to the core, Mr. Keith Hansen.
Okay.
The Bucks at the number 9 spot in 1998. Do you know who they took?
No clue.
Dirk Nowitzki. Ah. They took Dirk Nowitzki and then traded him on draft night to the Dallas Mavericks for Robert Tractor Trailer and Pat Garrity.
And what a great trade, you know, for Dallas.
For Dallas, yes, for Dallas. That's the surprising part. Yeah, that was one of the... could you imagine, by the way, Dirk Nowitzki with Ray Allen and Sam Cassell and Glenn Big Dog Robinson? Right.
You just got to wonder, what would they...
That would have been a dynastic starting...
Dallas initiated that or if Milwaukee did?
I have no idea.
Oh, man. Man.
Now we go to 2002. The Bucks had the 13th pick in the NBA draft. They took Marcus Hazlip out of Tennessee. Was a rotation player for a few years before ultimately leaving the league. Then we go to a top 10 pick. This one is a little more heartbreaking, because this guy was viewed as someone with a lot of upside. He was a point guard from Texas. T.J. Ford was a very, very electric player to start his career, and then he had a spinal injury in the mid-2000s that caused him to unfortunately not be the guard that the Bucks thought that they would be getting with him. So that's a little unfortunate. Then in 2005, the only time the Bucks have had the number one overall pick in my lifetime, they took Andrew Bogut out of Utah. Now, again, for those of you that don't know, Bogut was a good, solid center for a number of years.
Was.
If it wasn't for that stinking broken arm and him being made of glass, him and Brandon Jennings probably would have made a bit of a run.
Yep.
So Andrew Bogut. 2007, this guy was thought of as the next Yao Ming. His name was Yi Jian Lian. Do any of you know who Yi Jian Lian is? He was taken sixth overall in China, traded after one season. For Richard Jefferson, by the way.
Didn't quite work out.
No, it did not. 2008, eighth overall pick for the Bucks. Small forward out of West Virginia, Joe Alexander. Joe Alexander averaged 5 points in his NBA career. Yeah. Can you tell how good the Bucks are at drafting, Keith?
Not very good at
all. Exactly. So now we go to 2009. This pick worked out a little better. Number 10 overall out of Oak Hill Academy in Virginia, Brandon Jennings.
Yeah.
Rookie record, 55 points for a Bucks rookie. I remember because actually I was in attendance of that game.
Really?
As a matter of fact. Yes. Believe it or not, it was a matchup between Brandon Jennings and Steph Curry when they were rookies.
Okay.
And Jennings got the better of Curry that night. Brandon Jennings had 55 points, had zero in the first quarter. So he scored 55 points in three quarters.
Wow.
29 in the third of that game. Took the Bucks to the playoffs also a couple times.
Probably because you were cheering for him.
Well, I mean, I don't like to take credit, Keith, but I mean, thank you.
Yeah.
So now we go to 2011. The Bucks again had the 10th pick. They took a March Madness legend with this pick, Keith Hansey.
Okay.
Jimmer Fredette. Do you remember Jimmer Fredette?
Nope.
Okay, so Jimmer Fredette, if you don't know, he was the original long-range shooter. So he was the guy that was shooting up logo threes pretty much before Steph Curry did. Out of Brigham Young, they traded him to the Kings on draft night, and it was a part of a three-team trade. The Bucks got Steven Jackson, who ended up not working out, Tobias Harris, who right now is starting in the playoffs for the Detroit Pistons, and Sean Livingston, who ended up winning a title with Golden State. 2012, the Bucks ended up taking John Henson, number 14 overall, forward out of North Carolina, had a lot of upside to him, but just could never quite put it together. And believe it or not, Giannis Antetokounmpo was not a lottery pick. He was the 15th pick in the draft, just outside the lottery. So that's where the Bucks, that was not a lottery pick for the Milwaukee. 2015, the Bucks had the number 2 overall pick in the draft, and they took Jabari Parker out of Duke. Now, Parker, it was essentially between him and Andrew Wiggins, who was going to be the number 1 overall pick. That was what it boiled down to. Andrew Wiggins has won a couple of NBA championships with Golden State. Jabari Parker had a lot of upside, unfortunately, tore his ACL 3 times in his NBA career. Yeah, doesn't work out. Yeah, yeah. And then the last lottery pick that the Bucks took, at number 10 out of South Sudan, Thon McCour. Now, Thon was thought of as a guy that had a lot of upside coming into that particular draft, and the Bucks took a chance on him, and again, he never developed his game. He was traded in Milwaukee after a year and a half. So that's a look at the Bucks lottery history, and all you have to say is, oh my goodness, it is bad. Absolutely bad. So let's hope the Bucks...
It did have a couple good picks, but they managed to trade them away same night.
The Dirk Nowitzki trade is going to haunt Bucks fans for the rest of their life. Imagine what would have happened if you had Dirk Nowitzki, Ray Allen, Glenn Robinson, and Sam Cassell all on that same team. Think about that for a second. That team would not have gone anywhere. That team probably would have knocked off Kobe and Shaq's Lakers.
They very well could have. Had they gelled?
Yeah, very much so.
And it worked.
Yeah, you're tuned into the Sports Queue here on WJJQ. We're now going to get into some local sports, which is what the fans, I'm sure, are looking
for.
That'll be coming up after this here on WJJQ.
Bringing Wisconsin sports to the Northwoods, this is the Sports Queue on WJJQ.
This is Keith Hansey, broker associate with Northwoods Community Realty. Northwoods Community Realty is a company founded on community-focused values and premier real estate services to buyers and sellers in the entire Northwoods area. Whether you're looking for lake homes or city homes for sale, selling your property, or just want to know what your property is worth, give me a call at 966-1032. I have a deep knowledge of the area and understand our local real estate market. Give me a call, Keith Hansey, for all your real estate needs and questions at 966-1032 with Northwoods Community Realty.
You'll always find one of the largest selections of quality used vehicles every day at the Auto House on North 4th and Tomahawk. And by the way, Randy at the Auto House would like to thank everyone who called and stopped by to make sure he wasn't asleep behind the desk and wish him the best of luck on his new adventure. Randy plans on continuing to do things the right way at the Auto House, and that means offering safe and reliable, previously loved vehicles at prices you're going to like. And as always, there's an ASC-certified shop to keep your vehicle running as it should. And if you need a rental vehicle, you can get one at the Auto House. The Auto House on North 4th and Tomahawk and online at AutoHouseCars.net. That's AutoHouseCars.net. The Auto House, generationally doing business the right way for over 40 years.
What does it mean to be local on purpose? Crossbridge Community Bank is the only bank headquartered and led in Lincoln County. We make decisions about your mortgage and service our loans right here in Tomahawk and Merrill. That means less time waiting on some decisions from afar. Answers when and how you need them. Building construction companies love working with Crossbridge because they don't have to wait on a construction draw from a complicated process. Being local just makes working with us easier. It's as simple as that. Crossbridge Community Bank, Purpose First, FDIC insured, equal housing lender.
Welcome back to the Sports Queue here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Alex Cook here with you, along with Keith Hansey. Hey, Keith, guess what? Would you consider me the master of anything?
Puppets, maybe?
Maybe?
Maybe.
Think so?
Yeah.
I cannot play guitar like James Hetfield. That's a given. That is an absolute given. So, again, we have talked pretty much every single sport that we have mentioned here. We mentioned pretty much the big sports that we've got. But now, let's get into some local sports, Mr. Keith Hansey, shall we? So, again, spring postseason is almost here. I cannot believe it.
Yeah.
For those
short, spring season is super short with all the cancellations, reschedules.
Yes.
Just brutal.
And I've said this off the air. I'll say this on the air. This is when athletic directors earn their money.
For a fact.
So
yeah.
Let's go over some events that we got coming up, shall we? So coming earlier today, Tomahawk Golf, they competed in their Great Northern Conference meeting in Rhinelander. We don't have the results from those yet. Once I get those from Sean Totch, those will be on your local sports report tomorrow. Coming up tomorrow, Tomahawk Golf will continue their Great Northern Conference play. They are headed up to Trout Lake Course in Lakeland. That'll begin at 3 o'clock.
Yep.
Also tomorrow, Tomahawk Baseball and Softball will both be taking on Merrill. Baseball at home, softball on the road. And then on Friday, Tomahawk Baseball and Softball will both be taking on Crandon. We'll have the broadcast of the softball game for you on Sports Talk 810 AM and 97.7 FM WJJQ. Fairman Orthodontics Radio pregame show will begin at 4:35 and first pitch at 5 with Matt Tyler joining me in the broadcast booth.
And that's their last home game?
That will be their last game of the regular season.
Yeah.
Senior night was actually last week.
Oh, they already did that. Okay.
Yes, they did. So that will be the final home game of the season. Go out and see the team. There's a very real possibility, if they play well down the stretch, that Tomahawk softball could get a home playoff game, which
would be
huge for them.
Yep.
So that's first thing. Tomahawk baseball against Crandon. After softball, you want to head over and watch a baseball game? That's under the lights of TK Field Friday night. First
it's
pitch
a later
for that
game.
Yeah, it's a 6:30 first pitch. On Saturday, Tomahawk track and field, they'll be headed up to Lakeland for a thrower's invite. That will get underway at approximately 10 o'clock. And then on Monday, Hatchet Baseball will have their final road Great Northern Conference game of the season. They're going to head to Anago. That begins at 5. And Great Northern Conference Golf will have their next meet in Mosinee on Monday. That begins at 3. And then coming up on Tuesday, the Great Northern Conference track and field meet will be taking place. That's going to be at Mike Webster Stadium in Rhinelander. So not too far down the road.
Nope.
That gets underway at 4:30. And then we get to the final week of baseball. Tomahawk baseball on Tuesday will take on Stratford, which is going to be Stratford this year, if you're not following high school baseball, Stratford right now is one of the best teams in the state in Division III. So be sure to go out, watch that team play. They're probably going to be right up there with Wittenberg-Burnhamwood, I think, this year.
Yeah.
without a doubt. Then after that, on Thursday, May 21st, Tomahawk Baseball, they will have their final Great Northern Conference game of the season when they head to Northland Pines, when they have Northland Pines. That will get underway at 5 o'clock from Tyler Carl Memorial Field. And then also coming up on Thursday, Tomahawk Track and Field will have their final invite of the regular season. It's the Darren Peterson invite in Anago. That will begin at 4:15. And then Hatchet Baseball did decide to add a game on Tuesday, May 26th. They will be playing against Assumption. And ladies and gentlemen, that's a night game. That's a 6 o'clock first pitch. So be sure to go out and support the Hatchets there. Otherwise, postseason schedule. Postseason is almost here. Now, if you don't know, the softball seeding meetings will be held on Sunday. Sunday afternoon is when they will be held.
Yep.
Baseball seeding meetings will likely be held also sometime next week. Don't have an exact date from that. But, as we all know, the playoffs are an absolutely wonderful thing, especially after Memorial Day. Tomahawk Golf, they will have their regional meet out in Rice Lake to start. That will begin at 9 o'clock. That's a bit of a drive, but, yeah. But Rice Lake, from what I heard, is a very, very nice course. So then Tomahawk Track and Field, their regional meet this year. Don't have to go too far. Medford this year. That'll get underway at 4 o'clock. And then Hatchet Softball will have their regional semifinal on Tuesday at 5. We will be broadcasting the softball regional semifinal, regardless of where it is. And then how the postseason schedule works, for those of you that don't know, what we do when softball and baseball are playing at the same time, we do the game that is further along in the bracket. So if softball wins on Tuesday, we'll be doing the game on that Thursday. If softball loses on Tuesday, we're going to be doing the baseball game that Thursday. Yep, makes sense. Softball regional final and baseball regional semifinal will both be on that Thursday. Track and field sectionals for Tomahawk, they're going to be out in Rice Lake. That will get underway at 4 o'clock on that Friday. And then June 3rd is golf sectionals. And for sectionals this year, Tomahawk will be headed out to Spooner. To Spooner. That will get underway at 9 a.m. So, again, hard to believe that the postseason is here. And, Keith, I don't know if you were in the studio last year, but I happened to do a top 10 broadcast calls of last school year.
I do recall that.
Yes, you do recall that. I just want to let you know, I'm doing it again.
All right.
I'm doing it again. Right. We may work a couple of your calls in there.
Wow. I would hope so.
I mean, you would genuinely think so, right? You would genuinely think so, because Keith and I have been a member. It seems like every single time Keith and I are in the booth, something crazy happens.
Yes.
And I don't know what it is.
I don't know.
I think
extra inning games, overtime football.
We've done state championship hockey. We did hockey at the University of Wisconsin Eau Claire this past year.
Yeah,
that's still insane to think about.
And won.
Awesome. And won. Yes. Yeah. I kid you not. Every single time I am in the broadcast booth, something amazing. Not every time, but most times, especially when I'm in with this absolutely amazing gentleman, something crazy happens.
Yeah.
We've had overtime football games.
Yeah.
We have had extra inning baseball games. We've had walk-offs in baseball. We've had hockey games go all the way down to the wire, score with winning goals in the final 2 minutes. We've had hockey go all the way to the state championship. Wherever I go, if I end up going with Keith Yancey, I know that I'm going to get a good showing.
It seems to work out that way.
You know what? It might.
Yeah.
It very well does. And I don't know how or why. I don't know if it's like the Keith Stradamus, you know, just...
No, there's been a few of those calls.
Ain't that the truth. Ain't that the truth. Mr. Keith Yancey, did you have fun being a member of the A-Team with me?
Yes. It is good to be on the A-Team.
It is good to be on the A-Team, isn't it? We're going to see if we can get more of the other guys in here. So, Matt, John...
Bring it down.
Yeah, bring... We don't want to bring it down. We prop them up. That's what we do here.
Oh, that's right.
Yes, that's what we do. That is what we do. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to the Sports Q here on WJJQ. Again, thank you very much to Tim Albert for filling me in yesterday as I had to deal with a sick child at home, which Keith can speak from experience.
Oh, yeah.
Not fun.
No.
Not fun.
But you got to do it.
Yes, but you got to do it. Be sure to tune in next week. And again, we are getting to the end of the school year, which means we'll be getting to the end of the show for the year as well. Thank you, everyone, for tuning into the Sports Q. You're on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Have a sportacular week. I'll see you all next week.
listening to the Sports Q on WJJQ. Be sure to join again next Wednesday at 5:30 p.m. for the latest sports news around the state and in our Northwoods community, right here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ Tomahawk.